Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday, March 25th, 2025. It is 7 o'clock, and this board met an executive session at 5:30, and then we held two public hearings, one at 6 o'clock, one at 6:30, and now we are starting our executive session. We discussed land and legal issues. And now we are opening up our main meeting for this evening. So welcome. And our first order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance. So if I could ask everybody to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Mr. Jackson, if you wouldn't mind taking the roll.
Supervisor Zmuda.
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff.
Here.
Supervisor Giovanello.
Here.
And Supervisor Nutt.
Here.
We have four present this evening.
All right, thank you, Mr. Jackson. Okay, just as a reminder, all of our meetings here in Derry Township are recorded for the purpose of creating accurate minutes. So if you are here either for public comment or if you're here for a presentation this evening, we just ask you to, when you come to the podium, you're allowed to adjust it so it works perfectly for you. Make sure that you give us your name and your street address so that we have it for the record. One thing I will ask before we start our first option of public comment this evening is if you are here for item D on the agenda, I ask you just to hold your public comment until we discuss that agenda item, and we will after the board discusses that. We're not taking a vote on that agenda item this evening, but once we have a discussion, we will open up the floor again so that you can put your comments on the record. So if there's anything else other than item D at the moment that you would like to put on the record, you are welcome to come up to the podium and state your name and address and offer public comment. Podium is yours. Okay.
I come bearing gifts. I am Jonathan Christ. I'm an attorney. I live at 2865 Church Road. You all may remember that there was a hearing for about a year with regard to Sheets and Lindlaw that resulted in dismissal of their overturning of their development plans. That was appealed to the Dauphin County Court, and the Dauphin County Court upheld the township. And there was an appeal to the Commonwealth Court. Well, the Commonwealth Court has scheduled oral argument on that case. The briefs have been filed. There is an oral argument going to be held on what the Commonwealth Court does as a practice. It gets about 100 cases every 5 or 6 months, and it divides them into four panels for where they are. In the case of Harrisburg, there's four panels, so they have 25 cases in each panel. And then they take the top eight cases in each panel, and they have oral argument on them. And for the real sexy ones, for lack of a better term, they offer live stream on YouTube. They're going to actually broadcast those arguments live stream on YouTube. And since this was an important case for Derry Township, I thought everybody should be aware that it is being held on Tuesday, August the 8th. And the way it works, you see the list I gave you. They make everybody show up at 9 o'clock, and then they take the first one on the list, and when they're done, they go out the hallway, yell next, and you come in. So it's not, it says 9:30, but that's not what it's going to be. It's probably going to be about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But these will be live streamed on that particular YouTube channel, which deals with that courtroom and that panel. So you'll be able to hear and see all the arguments and the questions from the judge. And given the importance of this decision and the fact that the Commonwealth Court can, if it so desires, not only overturn the decision, but actually order this board to give them the development, I think everybody needs to watch what's going to happen here. I will be there. I will be representing Mary Beth Backenstow, one of the neighboring property owners. but I wanted everybody to know that this is available live stream link. I think this should be put on the township website, the link to this, with the understanding and the requirement of the court that no one can record audio or video of this. It's strictly to listen. You can go down to the courtroom and listen to it in Harrisburg if you want, but with all the people showing up, 400 cases showing up at a time, you don't want to be anywhere near that with the traffic. Trust me, I've been there. If I didn't have to be there with the traffic, I wouldn't either. But you can watch it online, and I think everybody should.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Kristen. I think that you meant April 8th, correct?
Excuse me?
April 8th.
April 8th.
Yes. Okay.
I would have. Unfortunately, it's in the morning because that's the next, I believe, your next meeting, or I would have saved it until later. But
all right.
So what way I can get it in.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting us know.
You.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to offer public comment on any other agenda items other than D, which we're going to open that back up in a bit? All right.
Good evening. My name is Charlie Beckley. I'm a lawyer with Beckley and Madden in Harrisburg. To my left is Eric Hauser, and to his left is Krupal Desai. We're here tonight on behalf of TerraFarm, Inc. You may recall that we attended the November 12th meeting of the Board of Supervisors, at which time we requested that you amend your zoning ordinance to allow medical marijuana dispensaries in the general commercial zoning district. Currently they're only allowed in the limited compatibility district. This would allow TerraFarm to open a medical marijuana dispensary in Park Village Plaza, which is owned by Mr. Desai and his group. Mr. Hauser gave a presentation at that time about medical marijuana dispensaries and how they operate. We're here this evening just to ask if the board has any questions, if it has any concerns, if we can address provide you with any additional information. We also want to reiterate that medical marijuana dispensaries do not dispense recreational marijuana. They're highly regulated, and you can only get a medical marijuana at a medical marijuana dispensary if you have a certificate from a healthcare provider. We also want to stress that if there are particular concerns that the board has with medical marijuana dispensaries, we think that they could be addressed if the use were permitted as either a conditional use or a special exception use, in which the conditions could be placed on the use that hopefully would address any concerns that the township may have. We're happy to address any questions or concerns.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any questions or concerns, but I would like our solicitor to just for everyone here to know that just because there is an entity that puts in a request for a text amendment, we're under no obligation to take up that text amendment.
No, we understand that.
Okay.
Yeah, so correct. I believe I remember you from back in November.
Yeah.
So as the board recalls, there was a request for the board to consider a text amendment associated with the requested use, but there is no requirement in the MPC for the township to proceed with any kind of a text amendment in this case. If the board were to, or if the staff, if we continue to look at the zoning ordinance and the township determines that there are some amendments that make sense, you can move forward with that, but that'll be completely within the discretion of the Board of Supervisors for purposes of planning. Just because the board or the township receives written requests from property owners asking for zoning amendments so they can do with certain things on their property, there's nothing requiring the township to accept those requests and move forward with any type of amendment. So I don't, for purpose of everyone that's in the audience tonight, there's nothing before this board to act on this evening. There's no draft ordinance that I'm aware of with respect to the request of the applicant, but the applicant is following up to see if there's any questions specific to the request from a month or so ago, a couple months ago.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to offer public comment before we move on to the business of tonight's meeting? Okay. Seeing as no one is approaching the podium, we will close this option for a public comment, and we will move on to this evening's consent calendar. So those of you who have stepped in at the back of the room, you'll see on the agenda there's items that are on the consent calendar, which include the approval of the Board of Supervisors minutes from March 11th and approval of our accounts payable. Is there a motion to accept this evening's consent calendar?
I'll make a motion that items A and B under the consent calendar be accepted.
All right. Thank you, Supervisor Zamuda. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Seconded by Supervisor Giovanello. Is there any questions or concerns about those two items? All right. Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. And with that, the consent calendar is adopted. All right. Moving on to our first item of new business. This is the consideration of the request of Old Coley, hopefully I'm saying that correctly, LLC, for an intermunicipal restaurant liquor license transfer from the city of Harrisburg into Derry Township. And our solicitor, Mr. Armstrong, will give us some background on the agenda item. And I see our applicants approaching the podium. Welcome.
Sure, thank you. This is a public hearing for purposes of considering the application for the intermunicipal transfer of liquor license. It would be liquor license R19248. With that, I think we can open the public hearing. It's been advertised pursuant to the appropriate code. The applicant being Old Coley LLC with an address of 131 West Chocolate Avenue, Hershey, PA 17033. And the application is to transfer that liquor license from Harrisburg into Derry Township to the 131 West Chocolate Avenue, Hershey, PA location. Pursuant to the liquor code in Pennsylvania, before the applicant can proceed, I'm sure you'll follow up, but before the applicant can proceed with their application before the liquor board, they need to receive from Derry Township as the receiving municipality a resolution approving the intermunicipal transfer of the liquor license from Harrisburg into Derry Township. So that, in a nutshell, is why the applicant is before you this evening. They're requesting the board to approve and then thereafter adopt a resolution authorizing and approving their intermunicipal license transfer into Derry Township. It also allows for any potential public comment or concerns voiced with respect to the application. So with that, are there any questions or comments from the board for me at this point?
No.
Okay, and I believe I did speak with the applicant's attorney. He would prefer this evening to provide a little narrative on his own and then ask his witness, if his witness were to have testified, if he would have testified consistently with how you're going to present it. I think this board is okay with that. However, this board will likely ask the applicant significant questions or other questions relating to the application, so he will likely be sworn in at some point.
Sure.
Actually, why don't we swear him in now?
Okay.
Go ahead.
May I proceed? Thank you, Mr. Solicitor, and good evening, Madam Chair and members of the board. My name is Ed McHugh, and I am the liquor license attorney for Old Coley LLC. Standing next to me is Mr. Randazzo. He is the principal of Old Coley LLC, the sole principal. And based on the introduction from Mr. Armstrong, it is correct. We are here to ask for a resolution approving the transfer of this license into Derry Township. Currently, Mr. Randazzo has a lease at 131 West Chocolate Avenue in Hershey, Pennsylvania. He is hoping to develop that location into an Italian restaurant. What I have provided for you tonight is a proposed menu and also a copy of a site plan of the current location. It's yet to be built out, but you know that's the current. That's the current plan that Mr. Radazzo has in place relative to this location. As Mr. Armstrong indicated, what I'd like to do is just give you really a summary of the proposed operation, touch on some highlights of what the operation is going to be, and then kind of turn it over to Mr. Randazzo, and he can agree or disagree to what I presented, and then turn it over for questions for Mr. Randazzo. So with that in place, if I'll just give you a summary of the proposed operation. It's a small place. It's, I think it's 1,140 square feet altogether. It's one level. There's no basement. It's a small bar area. It's going to have approximately 10 bar stools. I think no more than 40 seats at tables. No outside seating. You can see by the proposed menu, he wants to have Italian fare, and really he wants to have the alcoholic beverages to be more of a complement to the meal than really just service of alcoholic beverages. The anticipated ratio of food versus alcoholic beverages will be 70 food and non-alcoholic beverages and 30% alcoholic beverages. The proposed hours of operation and days of the week will be Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. through 11 p.m., roughly. There'll be no entertainment, no live entertainment, no dancing, no live entertainment. Maybe there'll be one or two TVs at the bar area. There'll be no jukebox, no music, maybe background ambiance music, but that would be the extent of it. There will be takeout food. Mr. Randazzo does not plan on providing any kind of takeout beer. There'll be no smoking inside. It will be a family-oriented restaurant. He will take reservations. He will have dinner specials. There is parking, plenty of parking, sufficient parking in the back area. So the parking will not be an issue. Mr. Randazzo plans on hiring approximately 10 employees. All servers will be RAMP trained. RAMP is an acronym that stands for Responsible Alcohol Management Program. And that's a program that's offered by the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. It teaches the servers the proper and lawful way to dispense alcohol. There'll be a transactional scanner device on the premises at all times that the restaurant is open. That transactional scanner device will be used to scan all patrons who appear to be under the age of 35 years old. And that would be the policy that Mr. Randazzo will have in place at all times during the hours of operation. I believe, will you have a camera system in place? We'll have a surveillance camera system in place at the premises. So, and I believe he will have remote access to that camera system, and that camera system will record. So he'll have that available to him as well. Just for the board's own information, there are no R licenses in safekeeping in Derry Township. There are, I think there's two safekeeping licenses in Derry Township. One's a public venue license and another one's a manufacturer's license. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Randazzo relative to questions.
Randazzo?
You can call me Max.
Max? Mr. Max or just Max?
Max. By the way, Mr. Solicitor, I'm sorry. So Mr. Randazzo does operate three other restaurants, both with the same concept here with Bacco's. There's one in Harrisburg and two in Mechanicsville. And are they all called Bacco's?
Yes, they're all called Bacco's.
All called Bacco's. So it's the same concept, the same restaurant concept. I'm sorry, excuse me. I just wanted to mention that.
Max, if you were to have testified, would you have testified consistent with what your counsel just took us through?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, I'll have some additional questions, but with that, I'll turn over to the board if the board has any questions of Max at this time.
Yeah, Mr. McHugh, you answered all my questions. My biggest question was, when will you be closed? And it says midnight. And entertainment. So there'll be no late-night happy hours. It is really to come in, have dinner, have a drink.
It will be happy hour. That happy hour is not.
But not in the middle of the night, not
no,
from
no,
10
no,
to midnight.
4 to 6.
Okay. So no late-night happy hours.
No,
okay. Okay. And folks won't be gathered outside, you know, smoking cigarettes or anything like that out in front. Okay. Those are my questions, and you did a great job of answering all of them through your presentation that I had. So perhaps the other board members have questions.
I'm good.
My only question would be, would you be managing it yourself with your other locations, or would you be hiring somebody to manage this specific location? Okay.
I oversee them, but I'm embedded with them, but I always imagine that it's there.
Okay. Okay. That was my only question.
And thank you for providing these. This is great. Looks like it's going to be a great restaurant. We're excited for it to open.
Now, I think what I heard was 10 a.m. to 11 p.m.?
Yes,
that's correct.
Okay, yeah. So not midnight. 10 to
11. Oh, I misread it. I'm sorry. It says, okay, I misread it.
The application does say 10 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that'll be amended. No, the application says.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Well, I think we can consider it amended if the applicant's testimony is that the hours of operation will be Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m.
11
p.m. is fine. Okay. And you understand that this is not land development approval. You're not going to get a zoning permit. If you need zoning relief, if you need a zoning permit, if you need land development approval, all of that is separate and distinct from this evening.
Yes, correct.
All this evening is the board reviewing your request under the liquor code in order for you to go before the liquor control board for your license from them.
Right.
Okay. And are you agreeable to any and all conditions that this board feel is appropriate to add to any potential approval consistent with the testimony that was provided this evening? Okay. And the acronym is RAMP, right? R-A-M-P?
Correct.
Responsible Alcohol Management Program?
Yes, sure.
And that's something that all restaurants that serve alcohol typically have to...
Liquor control board makes you do that. It's a must. You know, it's a part of the... You're supposed to have over 40% of your staff, even 50 to be RAMP certified. That leaves our RAMP for everybody, so we have no issues.
So the liquor board provides for a statutory requirement for all board approved managers within 6 months of approval to be RAMP certified. It's the licensee's option to become RAMP certified. RAMP certified is what Mr. Randazzo was just speaking of, where 50% of the servers have to apply at all times to be RAMP trained. There has to be certain signage up at the premises. The owner manager also has to be up to date with his RAMP certification, and those courses have to be refreshed or renewed every 2 years.
And you're agreeable to complying with all of those requirements associated with RAMP?
Yeah.
And you're familiar with them because you have two or three other...
Yeah, I've been RAMP certified for over 10 years. So
okay, good. You said it's 1,140 square feet in size?
1,149, I believe.
And there's no plan or proposal to expand the footprint? You don't have any, there's nothing you're proposing with respect to expanding or extending the restaurant as it sits today?
There's nothing overly expanded, so it's just that's fine.
Okay. That's all I have unless the board has some more.
No, so we can offer this motion to approve it?
Yes, so okay. Are there any, do you have anything else to present at this time?
We do not, no. We would just offer those documents as part of the record.
Okay.
Mr. Armstrong, that would be the only thing.
The documents being your application and...
So, yes, I mean, that would be great, Mr. Solicitor, if we could make the application part of the record, and then maybe we could just mark as A1 site plan and A2 as the menu, that would be great.
So what we're going to do for purposes of the record is we're going to mark as A1 a copy of the February 12th, ...2025 application. What we'll mark as applicant 2 is a copy of the architectural depiction of the proposed
site standard diagram, however you want to describe it.
For purposes of the record, I believe as I think the last page of applicant 1, the application consists of an architectural depiction. Is this consistent with that?
Yes.
There's no changes?
No changes, yeah.
Okay. And I would guess what we'll mark as applicant 3 is the menu that you propose to have at the property.
Yeah.
And is this menu the same as the photocopies that were attached to the application?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
No changes were made?
No changes.
That's not going to show up. Okay. Anything else? Any other exhibits
for the
applicant?
Thank you.
Okay. Any objections from the board? Seeing none, they can be admitted. No. Anything else at this point?
No, and I just thank you for taking the time to hear the matter. Very much appreciated.
Okay. So what I will say is we're going to close the hearing, but also as part of this agenda item, there is a draft resolution. If the board is ready and willing to entertain a motion to approve the application and execute and approve and pass the resolution, they may do so at that time.
Correct.
But at this point, we're going to close the public hearing.
Is there public comments on this hearing?
Are there any comments from the public on this application? Seeing none, let the record reflect there's been no public comment. But we can close the public hearing.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we can. Okay, so it sounds like at least the board is agreeable to moving forward with a resolution to transfer the liquor license. Agreeable? Any issues, Rick?
No.
No? Okay. No. So then I will offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors is approving the request to transfer the restaurant liquor license number R19248 into Derry Township and approve and adopt the attached resolution number 2025-09, specifically approving the liquor license transfer or a revised version thereof. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, seconded by Supervisor Wyckoff. Is there any additional comments or questions in regards to the motion? All right, hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, and with that, the motion passes. Thank you for the presentation. And I don't know if you guys want these back or they're really nice. Okay. Yeah, well, looking forward to the restaurant opening, and thank you for the great presentation.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, moving on to our next agenda item. This is a flag certification presented to the Board of Supervisors by the Harris Ferry Chapter Sons of the American Revolution. Mr. Watts, if you could please give us some background on this agenda item.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Jacob Lemon is in attendance for presentation to the Board of Supervisors as recognition for your outstanding dedication to patriotism and respect for maintaining the colors in Hershey. The Harris Ferry Chapter, Sons of the American Revolution, would like to present to the Board of Supervisors a flag certificate for outstanding commitment to patriotism, specifically for the Court of Honor at Chocolatown Park. Mr. Levin.
Fantastic. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, all of it.
Greg stole all your thunder.
I actually spoke to you over the phone, and you're seeing less and less flags, and I feel every time I work in Hershey, so every time I come to Hershey, I see the Court of Honor. I'm a very big patriotic person. I see the flags. I see all the military flags, and I always, either I'm stuck at that red light or not, but I'm always looking over to the right, and I enjoy just seeing it. They're always, you know, flags either half-mast or all, the whole way. I'm a president of the SAR, and this is something that we like to do to just show our appreciation, and I've personally very, very appreciative of it. I don't know if you guys are actually out there moving the flags up and down or not, but
that's Greg and his team.
Generally means a lot. If it's okay, I'm not sure who to give this to, but
we would love to get a photo. Thank you so much for doing this as a DAR member myself. And I had a chance to welcome the children of the American Revolution on Friday. They asked for a Derry Township welcome. So thank you so much for recognizing.
CAR chapter in Harrisburg.
Oh, wonderful. So if it would be great if you don't mind if we come down and we'll do it. Becky, we'll do a photo. We'll bring the board members down. That would be great. Come on down.
My presentation isn't as formal. It was going to be, but you did it for me. I would have messed it up anyway. I was also going to put this in a frame, but at the same time, I didn't know there's no frames in here, and I didn't know exactly where you wanted to hang it. So some people probably stuck them into a drawer anyway.
We'll find a great place to put it. Thank you so much for recognizing. Come on up.
Awesome. Normally, I'm actually in head to toe colonial outfit.
That would be great. Yeah.
So today, I'm just in student tie. So.
Absolutely.
If anyone here is has a patriot ancestor, so that means anyone that has served either in the military or public service during the revolution, definitely reach out. Either you're dar or sar. We have a harrisferrysar.org. If you're interested in the website, you can email us and you'll probably hear from me. We'll give a bunch of emails.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. Would that photo be online at all?
My family came over to vote.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
What's that? Back in the 2018.
All right, Mr. Watts, we're going to go back to you for some more fun. This time, we're going to move on to C, the replacement and installation of rooftop units, number 5 and number 6 on the police department facility. Mr. Watts, if you can give us some background on this agenda item.
Sure. Rooftop unit number 5 serves the main section of the police department, including the administrative offices. Rooftop unit number 6 serves the patrol officers, detectives on the first floor of the police department. RTU number 5 and number 6 were installed in 2006 are in need of replacement. RTU number 5 currently has one circuit out of 4 that is down and unrepairable. The other RTUs that service the police department, number 4 and number 7, were replaced in 2019. The replacement of RTU number 5 and number 6 is part of a 25-year rooftop unit preventative maintenance replacement schedule for our administrative, PD, complex, and public works facilities. Proposals were provided by Energy Controls Incorporated, Liebold Incorporated, and H.B. McClure. All proposals provided by vendors that are registered with CoStars. Energy Controls Incorporated provided the lowest proposal at the cost of $283,500. H.B. McClure provided a proposal for $289,935. And I wanted to make a correction for the public record. That quote from H.B. McClure was at prevailing wage. They had provided another proposal previous to that that was not. So that was a correction. And Liebold Incorporated came in at $299,750,000. The financial impact, replacement installation costs will be paid for out of the capital improvement fund, and it is our department's recommendation that the proposal for replacement installation of RTU number 5 and 6 be awarded to Energy Controls Incorporated at the cost of $283,500.
All right, thank you, Mr. Watts. And I have one quick question. I know you just mentioned this will be paid for out of the capital improvement fund. Was this a planned expenditure, or is this something that we have to kind of
this is a planned expenditure and was approved in the 2025 budget.
Perfect.
Just due to the dollar amount, we thought it was appropriate to bring it before the board.
Okay. All right, thank you. Do any other of the board members have any questions for Mr. Watts or Mr. Jackson? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just confirming, this is a CoStars contract?
It is, correct.
Both the equipment and the installation are on CoStars?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, and it's prevailing wage. I believe that at least the low contractor is prevailing wage, correct?
It is correct.
Okay. Yeah. That's all I have.
All right, any other questions? All right, with that, is there a motion to approve?
I'll make the motion that this board awards the proposal for the replacement and installation of the RTUs number 5 and 6 to NRG Controls Incorporated.
All right, thank you, Supervisor Zamuda. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, seconded by Supervisor Giovanello. Is there any additional comments or questions? All right, hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, and with that, the motion passes. All right, moving on to letter D. And as I mentioned before, we're going to do a discussion. There's no vote on this. And we will, once we do the discussion, open it up for public comment. So if you have anything that you'd like to comment, we'll let you know. And we'll bring you up to the podium. And you're welcome to place comments on the record. So with that, let's open up the site access discussion regarding the preliminary final land development plan for the Hershey Islamic Center, plat 1391. Mr. Emmerich, if you could start us off.
Sure. So this plan proposes the development of approximately 9.54 acres of land fronting on Stoverdale Road. The site's in the Conservation Zoning District, and the proposal is to construct a 47,944-square-foot building that comprises three major functions. One portion of the building is a three-story K-5 elementary school to serve 210 students. which will be connected to a larger multipurpose building, which is connected to a 300-seat worship center. Excuse me. I have one of those colds that it just won't, the cough won't go. This plan was tabled at the Planning Commission on August 6th, November 5th, and most recently at the March 4th meeting. The plan was last tabled because the applicant is still trying to figure out how to get water to the site. Water will be available. It's just a matter of the direction to bring it. But most importantly, there's a concern regarding a single point of access to the property, especially considering that it's a 210-student school on the property. The applicant has been asked to be placed on the agenda to receive some direction from the board regarding the single point of access. And the reason this is before the board is because the subdivision ordinance notes that in situations involving the subdivision or development of land for non-residential purposes, the Board of Supervisors may require at least two street connections, or if the land is to be accessed by driveways, two driveway connections to existing public streets where necessary to ensure safe and efficient traffic flows. To give you a little bit of an understanding of the plan, this site, again, fronts on Stoverdale Road, and you may recall that there is a small stream that comes beside Stoverdale Road and crosses into the Deer Run development. When the Sheets site was developed, that stream was relocated further from Stoverdale Road. That, at this point, is not the proposal with this development. The initial plans that were submitted had a access pretty much as shown on the screen right now. However, in the 100-year storm, the culvert that they had designed on the original proposal would have topped. So the road itself would have flooded. And that's when we started talking about a second means of ingress and egress. The applicant has explored with the Sheets property, although not operated by Sheets. It is owned, they manage the store, but the property is owned by LMS in Lancaster. After exploring that possibility, they did receive a letter from LMS, the possibility of getting an access onto their property, stating that they would not be willing to grant an access easement. So we're left with a plan that includes a school that has a single means of ingress and egress along a roadway that is subject to flooding. The applicant today has provided two options to try and resolve this or to share with the board, and the applicant is here. The first option was to kind of create a little bit of a boulevard road or put an island in the road to separate the two lanes with the hope that would grant the safety that was needed if there was some issue at the intersection. Because of the possibility of flooding and understanding that the upland area of this project is unmaintained natural woodlands, there's of course an opportunity for brush and trees to wash down and actually cause that road to top. The other option that the applicant provided today was to provide a reinforced green road, if you will, an emergency access at this end of the property and still retain this as the main entrance. This is certainly better, I believe, than the divided roadway. I think it helps serve the need for emergency access into the site. I think the main driveway, if there is an issue with flooding, would actually act as a dam and help protect this access as well. So I don't have as much concern for the lower access flooding. Now, I did mark up the applicant's plan and send it back to them, suggesting that if indeed they pursue this option, pending what the board says about it, that they take out these two parking spaces and maybe relocate them into the green space. In other words, their emergency access was shown to have parking in front of it, and that just doesn't feel appropriate. So with that, explanation. I'll give the floor back to the board and see if the applicant would like to add anything.
Okay. So is the applicant here for us to ask questions? Oh, it's okay. I think we do have some questions and comment.
Chad Zimmerman with Dawood Engineering.
I'm Mark Winter with JSDC Law Offices in Hershey. And just by way of quick introduction, I think Mr. Emmerich captured everything very nicely. Hershey Islamic Center owns the 9-acre lot that would be just to the east of the existing sheets at the corner of Hummelstown Middletown Road and Stoverdale Road. And Mr. Zimmerman has prepared a number of different possible plans that have gone before the Planning Commission. And the issue, of course, is that the Planning Commission can't require the two driveways. The Board of Supervisors can require two driveways for a non-residential lot where necessary for public safety. And the issue that we're seeking from, or the help that we're seeking from the board tonight, is some guidance as to what type of a plan the board, as the ultimate decision maker, would have to face once we complete our presentation to the Planning Commission. And of course, we may end up before the Zoning Hearing Board as well, but right now we're just with the Planning Commission. And while the Planning Commission can make a recommendation to the board, it's the board's ultimate authority to approve it or deny it. And so we wanted to get some sense from the board as to how the board felt about this most current presentation that Mr. Zimmerman is about to make regarding option number two. So with that said.
So, Mr. Winters, I've got a quick question. Sure. So now in our packets that we looked at, I don't remember seeing this screen. So this is news to all of us up here.
They were emailed to me today.
Okay. So this is the first that we're seeing that, what did you call it, a green entrance?
It's a reinforced mat that allows the grass to grow through, as I understand it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the first time that we're seeing this. Do you have more of a presentation, or do you want us to get into our questions? And
It's what Chuck said. It's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Went to the Planning Commission multiple times, looked at different options. Like you said, Chuck said, we first had presented the plan. We were not passing the Hunter storm, so we have a box culvert going under the main entrance. Now passes the entire 100-year storm. It is similar to what Sheets has installed there at the main entrance. So we went to that, and then we just started talking about secondary access. We went to the landowner of the Sheets property and tried to get a secondary access to that. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. He's not willing to grant that access easement. So we came back to the Planning Commission and kind of had some discussion over that on what exactly they want to see. So now we're coming before you and giving that presentation and seeing what you guys might want to see or don't need to see. So
we've all read through the Planning Commission minutes, and I know that the staff has repeatedly mentioned in Planning Commission that this board will want to see two specific entrances for emergency vehicles into this property. And I know Mr. Winters was part of a hearing that we went through on a different project, and one of our issues with that project was that there were not enough free-flowing intersections, and we denied that project. And even more recently, the Swim Hershey facility, we went through a number of meetings with them and required them to have two entrances that would allow full fire trucks, emergency vehicles that were separated. And looking at the square footage on Swim Hershey and the Islamic Center, they're very similar properties. So from my personal opinion, and we'll get some comments from the rest of the board, you have children back here. There's going to be an elementary school. There needs to be two means of entrance and exit that allows for fire trucks, allows for emergency vehicles, and allows for police to get back into that center if there's a need from anyone that's visiting that facility. So I'm going to open it up for any additional questions from my fellow board members, any questions or comments. So.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Rick, if you want to. I was just going to say, I feel a bit, I'm taken aback a little bit. I feel like I'm being actively railroaded here with just getting the plan today and hearing about it for the first time 4.5 minutes ago.
Under talking with Chuck, we did not present the thing.
So I understand that you were under no legal obligation to present it today.
True.
But as far as having a substantive, productive conversation, hearing about the plan 4.5 minutes ago and then for us to actively say, you know, let's talk about this. I mean, I know I'm not able to give my substantive opinion or comment on something I literally just heard about. So, I mean, my opinion is, again, two points of ingress and egress. That has been the essentially blanket policy of this board. But as far as this green road is concerned, that's all I have to say about that tonight.
I tend to agree with the chairwoman here. The two entrances of egress and regress, are we need to have those. I have other questions about traffic, but the question before us today is one road or two roads.
Still, the main issue is DEP may or not approve it.
Well, you're putting kids back there. You need to have two ways in or out that fire trucks can get back there and emergency vehicles can get back there. I would think DEP would also want to make sure that those children are safe back there, or the parishioners are safe back there, or the people using the community center are safe back there.
Okay. Is there an alternative DEP doesn't?
It would be because the entire stream will be. You have to do an analysis with DEP stating why you can or can't do what you want to do. Like let's say you produce these two roads, you might have to come in and say, we examined a secondary access off-site. They're not allowing it because, you know, because we can't go to the secondary entrance, now we're going to the main entrance. They may or might not allow it. They might just say no.
What would that green road look like? I'm trying to visualize it as
imagine a
stone path with.
Yeah, it's not stone. It's imagine like little cups all stuck together on a piece of plastic. Imagine like a milk crate that has little cones on it. You put a special mix in there for soil stabilization, and green grass can grow over it. Other places used it.
So it would be like the. I've seen them in driveways.
Yes,
permeable like, driveways.
Yes.
They're like bricks or. Open
little
design
squares,
bricks, and they're all over the place, and they allow grass to grow up in
yes,
between.
Yes, in this case, it's a special soil mix that you put in.
Okay, it's different from what I'm trying to describe.
Yeah, it's the same principle.
That's exactly
right. Floods.
I've learned a lot in my years on this board, and I always learn a new term or snazzy new idea. I've never heard of a green road. I'm curious if there are flooding concerns in the area. What happens to a green road in a flooding situation? And if we're concerned about flooding at one point of access, wouldn't we be concerned about another point of access just 20 yards down the road on the same road next to the same creek in the same situation?
We're gonna design so both culverts or box culverts will pass the Honey River storm.
But a green road, is that going to, you put a giant fire truck on that?
Yeah, it's designed for that exact.
So I can tell you my experience with these is in large warehouse projects when you have to take a fire road entirely around the building. This is the type of material that's often used to carry that load.
But they both spit out on Stoverdale.
Pardon?
They would both feed out on the Stoverdale.
Why wouldn't DEP approve something like that?
Because you're impacts the stream. There's a wetland right adjacent to the kind of in the center of the site, probably impacts to that. Because the stream is in proximity to Stoverdale Drive is right at the toe of the slope, the stream has to be kicked back for us to install the pipe. We can't physically install the pipe because of thing like Cheats did.
You have to get a waiver from DEP to move the stream.
We're going in for a joint permit for that.
So if DEP denies it, what's the plan?
I don't know. I think we'll come back to the board and reapproach the situation. We're going to hope they approve it, but I don't know at this stage.
So at this point, you're just looking for us to tell you that you need two specific ways in and out of there that will accommodate fire trucks, emergency access, police cars, and I think we're telling you that you need two ways in and out. And I personally am skeptical of a green road, but we've never seen it before. We've never seen it before. And
I'm more skeptical of it entering ingress and egress on the same roadway. I mean, Stoverdale Road, everybody that lives here knows what Stoverdale Road is like. And having two points on that same road, one of them being this coned roadway, I'm not sure.
That'll be gated. That'll be gated and only used for emergency access.
Yeah, so that was my question. So the green road that's shown on this latest proposed plan, it's not a primary access.
No.
It's only going to be used in the event of an emergency.
The primary access is blocked. There'll be keys that everybody will have. They'll unlock it and gain access to that.
So you will still only have the one driveway. Where was the other, just out of curiosity, where was the other one proposed that I guess the neighboring property owner?
Yeah, you can kind of see where it's a dumpster pad and enclosure, kind of right across from there.
And then we'll have a chance, once this gets kicked back to the Planning Commission, there's a new plan, then we'll have a chance when it comes back to us again to talk about other issues that we might see, like parking and things like that, at a later date. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, the plan is not before the Board of Supervisors tonight. There's nothing actually before the Board to actively, to formally act on. You're looking for guidance with respect to the two-access, two-driveway piece to the project. And I think at least from those supervisors who have spoken this evening, you're getting the guidance that you're looking for, that the Board is looking for the two driveways.
Correct.
Okay.
I got one more question.
Just to follow up on that, and to Mr. Emmerich's presentation earlier as to whether that second point of access could be gated and could be the green road, which, by the way, we have other facilities like that here in Derry Township. They've been here for many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. They used to use what we call Belgian blocks, which were very similar.
What I'm going to say is that it sounds like this plan has been kicked around at the PC level for quite some time, and the township's professional consultants have reviewed the plans. And it sounds like the message you're getting from the professional consultants is you need the two access points. That being said, you just provided this plan today. Chuck's looking at it for the last couple of hours, probably for the first time. I suspect the township engineer hasn't looked at it. So I guess what I'm saying is I don't know if we're in a position this evening to tell you if that green, whatever you're calling it, is sufficient to meet what the township, what from the direction you're getting from the board by tonight saying you need two driveways. Whether or not that proposed greenway or green driveway meets that requirement, I think the township's consultants are going to have to look at it a little closer before you get a definitive response from the board.
But I think you've at least, as you said earlier, you at least helped give us some guidance that two driveways is what the board is looking for.
Right.
Yes.
So I think we've at least got that. Now the question is, what form do two driveways take?
When we had the emergency access up on the top, kind of going over to the adjacent landowner, we did speak to HRG about the green pavers, and they were acceptable to it.
Well, again, we just saw this for the very first time. It wasn't in our packets. We just got surprised by it.
We're not asking for a vote.
Okay.
I think we've got your feedback.
Okay.
I actually have a question. Chuck, I'm going to ask you a really dumb question right now. Is there a rule that, or an ordinance that says that a second entrance has to be X amount of yards or feet away from the primary one?
No.
So you have all that space between your green driveway and the main driveway now. Couldn't it be redesigned to effectively have a second driveway in there, in the middle there?
You're saying...
Go ahead. Tell me I'm wrong, please.
Well, no. One thing I want to point out, and the reason that they're looking at an alternate material is this is the configuration of their site. So their only road frontage is Stoverdale Road. This land is in the conservation zoning district. The conservation zoning district allows 15% impervious cover on a lot. They are at 15% impervious cover. That was what Mr. Winter alluded to when he said we may have to visit the zoning hearing board. So if they would put in a hard surface road as an emergency access, they likely would be going to the zoning hearing board because they'd be exceeding the 15% coverage.
Couldn't they do a trade-off by having a permeable parking lot?
They have permeable parking lot as part of this project,
okay,
as part of the trade-off.
I already thought of that.
So the whole idea was to try to pick up some pervious.
Sure.
What you see here in the lighter colored parking spaces is all porous okay. asphalt.
Maybe we shouldn't be addressing this right now, but there's got to be other ways to buy some more.
Yeah, I'm not trying to design the project. I'm just trying to explain why they're looking at a green material.
Okay, I think our bottom line is you need an in and a two driveways.
Okay.
I think that's whichever way you guys decide to do
okay.
it.
Okay, so that's what we've indicated, and so that's all we need to do this evening, correct? Okay, thank you for the presentation. And as promised, I am happy to open up the podium for anyone who's here to make public comment on this agenda item. You're welcome to come up under 3 minutes, name and address. The podium is yours if anybody would like to offer comment. All right, seeing as
no,
you have a comment on this. Mr. Christ, if you can keep it super quick.
Could you bring back up the picture that shows the sheets where it is? Chuck, please. There's the sheets next door. We spent a year talking about the sheets at Linlow, and if I remember correctly, digging in my brain, they had 456,000 gallons of underground fuel there. Now, this is not the same size sheets. This is a minor one. I think this is 8 pumps versus 12. But you're looking at 250,000 gallons at least of underground fuel there right next door to this property. I've done a lot of development in a lot of places in a lot of places, and anything like this, when you're talking to school, you want two exits in two different roads, not on the same road. I agree with what Dominic was saying here. That's all I've ever seen, particularly if you're talking right next door to a major. There's your problem right there. The same thing you had with the Linlow deal. They had 456,000 gallons within 150 feet of a daycare facility, which I thought was just ridiculous. 150 feet from the apartment building, 300 feet from my lady's building, Mrs. Backenstow's, across the, that was exempted because it was across the street. You get that close to that kind of fuel, you've got problems.
All right, thank That's you, Mr. Christ. Is there anyone else that would like to offer public comment on this agenda item before we move on? All right, seeing as no one has approached the podium to offer public comment, we will move on to letter E, the consideration of authorizing a text amendment to Chapter 61, Animals of the Code of Derry Township. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you. You all may recall that Kate Clark attended the January 28th Board of Supervisors meeting asking the township to consider revising the animal ordinance to require microchipping of domesticated cats to help differentiate domesticated cats from feral cats. She explained that often when trapping cats to manage the feral cat population, there's an increasing number of domesticated cats that are captured. The feral cat program would typically ensure that the captured cat is cared for, neutered, and returned to the colony where it's captured. However, capturing domesticated cats tends to exhaust unnecessary efforts in trying to identify the owner or to seek other adoption of the cat. If domesticated cats that are permitted outside the home are microchipped, it would be much easier to reunite the cat with the owner. I've provided some sample ordinance language. In a nutshell, it would be as simple as requiring that any cat owner that allows their cat to roam free outside could do so only with a breakaway collar and microchip. That's rather concisely what the ordinance would say. I don't know if Pat has been looking into it to some degree as well. I don't know if you have anything to offer or to add, Pat.
Yeah, I think if the board authorizes Chuck and I to move forward with kind of finalizing this draft ordinance, there will probably be some tweaks to the draft or drafts that you have before you. There is some limitation as to what, you know, Derry Township's able to require. And we'll address that with whatever final version comes before the board, if this is something the board wants us to proceed with.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. And thank you, Mr. Armstrong. I will note that we do have at the township a relationship with the Derry Township Community Cats, and there is an expense to help with spaying and neutering. So there is a benefit to the taxpayers if we're not wasting the time of the volunteers who are working on a volunteer basis through the Derry Township Community Cats if they know right away what kind of cats that are coming into their care. I see the folks are here. Did you all have anything that you wanted to add this evening? I know we heard from Caitlin a couple weeks ago. Is there anything else that you wanted to add this evening? Or I think that we're all willing to have a hearing and move forward with putting something on the record to help ease the issues that you're having. I think we've all seen what's going on with animals being left behind, and it's terrible. The poor dog that was left out at Briarcrest, the two animals that were left in a park in Hummelstown. If we can help you guys with your mission, which is very helpful to the residents of Derry Township by spaying and neutering the cats that are strays, we would like to be able to help you. So, Caitlin, if you have it and want to make it fast, if not, I mean, we can authorize a future discussion. And, Chuck, that would basically, if we say to move ahead, it would promote a hearing. So we'd publicize it, allow people to come forward if they have an issue with, you know, getting their cat microchipped or putting a collar on their kitty.
That's correct.
Okay, got it. Okay, welcome.
Hi. Do you need an address again?
That would be helpful, just so we have it.
Kate Clark, 1932 Wexford Road, Palmyra, but Derry Township. So I wanted to, I will make it quick because I'll just go with what's here. I would like to begin by expressing my gratitude for meeting with me after I spoke at the meeting on January 28th, and I appreciate the follow-up conversations that have allowed us to reconvene this evening. The biggest thing that I've added in here, so I will go off record, is that even since meeting with you on January 28th, we've gotten four additional cats in our care that have been dumped or that have been lost pets that nobody has been able to relocate or reunite with. So I went into details about what a microchip is and why microchipping is important, but if there is going to potentially be another hearing, I will save it for that so I don't continue with your evening. So
perfect. Okay. So, Chuck, at this point, all we need to do is just authorize you and Pat to work together and put something on our agenda so that we can invite the public to offer comment and have Kate come back.
Cute.
And give us more information about, and this is really simple things that we're asking, nothing crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Just, okay.
And just for clarification, the ordinance revision would be just for cats that are going to be free roaming, not pets? Or is there a way that we can continue to look into all pets?
I think when we were talking about it, it was just free roaming cats.
Okay.
I think that's...
The township is limited as to what... They're given certain authority through the second class township code, and it's a little vague, to say the least, with respect to its ability to do what we're talking about doing at this point. So anything beyond that, I don't think the township's going to be in a position to consider.
Okay. It's a start. Thank you.
All right. So thank you again for being here and for the whole group that's here volunteering. Thank you for what you guys do with the Derry Township Community Cats. This is available for a motion if someone would like to offer a motion to get the process moving.
I'll make the motion that this board authorizes the township staff and solicitor to work on an amendment to Chapter 61, Animals. Once the draft ordinance is completed, it should be further reviewed by the board prior to being advertised for a public hearing and consideration for adoption.
All right. Thank you, Supervisor Zamuda. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Seconded by Supervisor Wyckoff. Any additional questions or comments? All right. Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And with that, the motion passes. All right, moving on to our next agenda item. It's the proclamation proclaiming April 25th, 2025, mm-hmm. the observance of Arbor Day in Derry Township. Mr. Watts, are you taking this? Yes? Okay. Mr. Watts.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. As part of the criteria needed to meet the requirements to be granted Tree City USA status each year, the elected body of the municipality must pass a proclamation establishing a day of Arbor Day observance within the municipality. For 32 years, the township has applied to the National Arbor Day Foundation for Tree City USA status. The township has been successful in obtaining the status due in part to the Board of Supervisors as well as staff's commitment to make every effort to preserve the urban forest and beautify Derry Township. It is recommended that the proclamation be adopted by the Board of Supervisors.
All right. It's an easy one. All right. Is there any comments or questions for Mr. Watts on this agenda item? All right, seeing none, is there a motion?
Okay, I'll make the motion that this board of Derry Township Supervisors proclaims the last Friday in April, that is April 25th of 2025, the official day for observance of Arbor Day.
Wonderful, I will second. Is there any additional comments or questions? All right, seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And with that, Arbor Day is set for April 25th, 2025. All right, next is the request to conduct the 2025 Love, Inc. 5K race on Saturday, June 21st, 2025, starting at approximately 8 a.m. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A request was received from Dale Forshee of Love, Inc. to hold the fifth annual Love, Inc. 5K run on Saturday, June 21st, 2025, starting at 8 a.m. The event starts and ends at Spring Creek Church of the Brethren. Roadways involved in this race will be East Ariba Avenue, Para Avenue, Meadow Lane, Crest Lane, which is Milton Hershey School property, and Golf Lane, which is also Milton Hershey School property. Roadways will be closed during the event for the safety of participants, and all closure points will be staffed. Any of the involved township roadways will be closed for approximately 30 to 45 minutes. And once all runners are on Crest Lane, any involved township roadways will be opened. The race route is easily managed and has been for the years that we've had this race. And we allow residents looking to gain access to their properties when there are safe breaks in the race. We allow them to get to their properties when they need to. So we kind of manage in and out of the residents in that manner. All posts are planned to be manned by a special fire police. Some of those fire police are from the Milton Hershey School Security, Safety and Security Department. If we do incur overtime coverage from Derry Township Police Department, the event organizer is aware of the township's reimbursement policy and has indicated their understanding and acceptance of that policy. If police assistance is required, it was requested that at least 2 weeks' notice be provided to Derry Township Police Department, and they recognize that, and that's why it's on the agenda to get approved.
All right, thanks, Chief. Is there any questions about the race? All right, with that, I will offer a motion that the 2025 Love, Inc. 5K race on Saturday, June 21st, 2025, starting at 8 a.m. over various township roads en route approved by the Derry Township Police Department is hereby approved. Is there a second? All right, seconded by Supervisor Giovanello. Is there any additional questions, comments? Right, hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, and with that, the motion passes. All right, moving on to another road closure. This time it's the request to close Reese Avenue from Millard Street to west entrance of the Reese's plant on Saturday, April 5th, 2025, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. for the Reese's Employee Family Easter Egg Hunt. Again, back to you, Chief Horner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This request was received from Sabrina Frazier, the Reese's Plant Operations Planner, to close a portion of Reese Avenue for the annual Reese's Employees Family Easter Egg Hunt. The event is to take place on Saturday, April 5th, 2025, on the front lawn area of the Reese's Plant. But in order to protect the pedestrians, adults, and children that are going to be attending that event, they are asking for the roadway to be closed in front of that lawn area from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Traffic interruption will be minimal, and residents to the east still have ingress and egress via Hawkersville Road and Swadera Avenue. And then the traffic on the west side for the new plant and the tech center also have access off of University as it comes off of 422. Barricades will be set up and later removed by organizers of the event, and the police department will make arrangements to have those barricades placed at those locations so they can do that set up and tear down.
All right. Sounds great. And this is something I feel like we do this every year.
Yes. So,
yeah. All right. Is there any questions for the chief on this closure? All right, and with that, I will offer a motion to close Reese Avenue from Lard Street to the west entrance of the Reese's plant on Saturday, April 5th, 2025, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Is there a second?
A second.
All right, seconded by Supervisor Wyckoff. No questions or comments? All right, hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, and with that, the road is closed. Okay, so that wraps up our business for this evening. So moving on to Supervisor Board and Committee reports, and we'll start on the left with Supervisor Zamuda.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'd like to start off with congratulating the Hershey High School boys basketball team for making the 5A state championships. That game will be Friday. I don't know what time, though.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Thank you very much. So be there or be square. I had a transportation meeting this morning, and it was relatively short for our meetings. We discussed Hershey Entertainment and Resorts was there and discussed their events for the summer coming up.
Okay. All right.
They're coming up with expanded mitigation efforts in the township to try to calm the traffic down for the area. They'll be reporting to us again at the end of next month, and we'll bring that to you. Either myself or Madam Chair will bring that to you at that time. DTMA, we had a report from them. The Ridge Road project has been slightly delayed, and now they're looking at reopening it either late April or early May. And finally, there were questions about better lighting on East Chocolate Avenue. It looks like we're going to be getting two lights there at the cost of PP&L putting them in for us. And that's really all we did today. It was a very short meeting.
Unusual
for sure. Yes. Do you have any? If you have anything else to add,
nope,
please.
You hit all the points. Thank you very much. And now moving over this way, Supervisor Giovanello. Okay, Supervisor Wyckoff.
I have no report this evening.
Okay, and my only report, Supervisor Zamuda gave a great report on transportation group, and Supervisor Giovanello and I attended the library board meeting last week, and as usual, Allison gave us a great list of all the amazing things that are happening at the library. So, and I will save all of the fun for her. So that wraps up our board and committee reports. So moving on to our staff reports, we'll start with Chief Horner for the police department. Do you have anything to report this evening?
Nothing really to report. I had another meeting commitment this morning for that program manager meeting. I just want to make sure I didn't get signed up for any committees.
No, you're good. You're good. Okay, Mr. Sassman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Real quick update. Tomorrow, the second apparatus committee will be leaving to go to Florida for a print approval on the second piece of apparatus. So that piece is actually a little bit ahead of schedule. So I don't have a delivery time on that yet, but print approval is always a good start. So we might be looking at two pieces of apparatus coming by the end of this year.
Time for a parade.
So that would be great rather than the 31 months that we were expecting. So it's all good news.
So are things finally starting to move through the system faster?
I think they're getting a little... It's not quite as busy of a schedule, but, I mean, I know from Pierce, they still are, though, up to 3 years. They're quoting that. I believe the second truck, the reason I think it's moved up a little bit is because it's a commercial chassis.
Okay.
So it's a little different, and it's made at another plant. So this plant's in Florida, and I don't think that they have quite the same order volume that Pierce does at their main plant in Wisconsin.
Okay. Well, that's great news. Thank you for the update. Mr. Watts.
Just a quick update for something that Mike mentioned this morning in the transportation meeting. He said that there'd be a small project going on at Brookside Park. He got back to me this afternoon that Rogel can start Monday, the 31st. Just a little background in that. There was some previous stormwater work that had changed the grade slightly to and was backing up stormwater into the playground area and kind of creating unfavorable conditions in the playground area. And DTMA agreed to rectify that situation. He thinks the project will take 2 to 3 days, possible start Monday, depending on weather. I talked with Amy in Parks and Rec, and we decided that we would close the park during construction activities to keep everyone safe.
Great. That sounds great. Thank you for that update. That was
Friday.
Fast. Mrs. Jacobine.
All right. So in the next week, we have two different authors coming to visit us at the library. So on Saturday, March 29th at 2 p.m., we have A.S. King, who's actually a fairly local author. She's from over in Lititz, and she's a 2-time Prince Award winner, which is the highest award that the American Library Association gives for YA books. It's very rare to win it twice. And then on April 5th, Saturday, April 5th at 2 p.m., we have Grace Cho coming to talk about her memoir, Tastes Like War, which is part of our Hershey Reads program. And tickets for that are almost gone. So we're looking forward to it. Should be an eventful week.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a reminder, we have our annual egg hunt coming up Saturday, April 12th, and we are excited to be offering a rain date if need be. That would be Sunday, April 13th, and we would announce that in advance. The hunts will begin at 10 a.m., and it's for ages 8 and under, and we will also have a special visitor arriving on the fire truck to greet all the children as well.
Fantastic. Sounds great. Thank you. Mr. Stump?
No report tonight.
Oh, okay. Mr. Emmerich, anything additional tonight?
Nothing additional this evening, thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Jackson? Okay. So with that, this is now anyone who would like to offer public comment. The podium is yours again. Same rules, name, address, and keep it under 3 minutes. Anyone who would like to offer comment, you're welcome to. All right, seeing as no one is approaching the podium, we will close this opportunity for public comment. And our last order of business this evening is adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
All right, thank you, Supervisor Zamuda. I will second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, and the meeting is adjourned. Have a great night, everyone.